Gospel reading. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. There were these young parents who were sitting down for breakfast one morning and heard that sound they never want to hear, their young toddler screaming from the bedroom. And so they both ran into her bedroom to see what was going on and discovered that her pet turtle had died and it was lying there motionless. The little girl was overcome with grief and crying and crying and crying. And so the parents tried everything they could to console her. They first said, "Well, no, sweetie, the turtle's now in heaven with God." And this didn't seem to really work. So they kept going. They said, "Well, maybe we should have a funeral for your turtle." And the little girl said, "Well, what's a funeral?" And the parents said, "Well, it's kind of like a party. We can invite all your friends, we can get cake, and we can talk about how great of a turtle this was and the memories that you have of this turtle, and we can turn this into a big celebration of your turtle's life." And this girl started to smile as she realized what was going to happen, and the parents were so proud of how they had dealt with this tumultuous moment in this young toddler's life. And as they were getting ready to walk out of the room, the dad looked down and noticed that the turtle's foot started to move. And then suddenly the head came out of the shell and they realized the turtle was simply sleeping. And so the dad said, "Sweetie, look, the turtle's alive." And then with all of the innocence that a three-year-old girl could muster, she looked at her dad and smiled and said, "Let's kill it." Sometimes we don't like resurrection. I want to talk about resurrection today because that's a word that we have carried with us as Christians for a long time. What is resurrection? What are we resurrected to? These are not only questions that I think it's important for us as people to have, but honestly, I think these are questions that we probably feel we already know the answers to. And so resurrection is one of those concepts that has a very interesting history throughout both the Bible and Christendom. And I want to start with a little bit of history, which is why I began with a joke, because now I've got you. And so now you're going to have to listen to me talk about history for a little bit. Some of you might know this, maybe not all of you, but Jewish people today, for the most part, do not believe in resurrection. When you look at the Old Testament, Jewish people in antiquity did not believe in resurrection either. They don't believe in an afterlife and didn't believe in an afterlife then. There was a period of time, however, when the idea of resurrection started to come into the mindsets of Jewish people, And it was right around the same time that Christianity started to come about. And so the concept of resurrection went from this group of Jewish people to Christians. And while Jewish people, for the most part, had given up the idea of resurrection, it flourished throughout Christianity. Now, it's important to understand, when you read all of the Old Testament, when you consider the time periods in which those events were happening, Jewish people did not believe in an afterlife. They did not believe that any deeds of humanity earned people a place somewhere else after they died. Primarily, this was because Jewish people in antiquity believed that what happened to a person in their lifetime was a reflection of their relationship with God. So if a village was attacked by another tribe, it was because that village had upset God. If a famine or a plague or drought had beset a community, it's because that community had not made the proper sacrifices to God. Everything in antiquity was looked with this kind of cycle, that what happened around us was a product of how we treated God. Well, then something interesting happened in the second century before the Common Era. In the year 160 BCE, the Seleucids, which was a branch of the Greeks, came and besieged Jerusalem. During that time, they first made Jerusalem have to pay tribute to them, which Jerusalem did as a way to save their people. But then the Seleucids said, "You also need to go into your temple, destroy all of your artifacts, and start worshiping our gods." And the high priest and his children at this time said, "No, we're not going to do that. We are the people of the one God, and we will continue to worship the one God." And so the Seleucids attacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed the artifacts, and killed many, many, many people. At one point during this historical event, the Jewish people had gone into the Jewish temple, had barricaded it so no one could get in. They had oil for a lamp that was only supposed to last one day, and it ended up lasting 8 days. This is where we get the story of Hanukkah. It comes from this same time period. Finally, again, the Seleucids, they succeeded. They destroyed the temple and killed many people. Well, it was at this point that a lot of the Jewish people looked around and said, "Well, wait a minute, why did this happen? We haven't done anything wrong this time. We haven't betrayed God. Instead, actually, we stood up for God." It was during this time that the Maccabean Revolt started, where Jewish people raised their own army to fight the Seleucids, and they were defeated. None of this made sense to their current cultural customs. How could they have lost? How could so many people have died when they did everything right? And it was from this time period that people began to think, well, maybe this life isn't all there is. Maybe this idea that God comes back, that God brings all nations unto God's self, that God rights all wrongs, maybe that extends even unto death. Maybe God will one day raise our dead who didn't deserve this. Maybe all of us together will get to experience God's justice and righteousness and peace. I will say they weren't talking about going off to heaven somewhere. They were talking about being raised back up into this earth, this life, in a time when all injustice and pain and suffering had been wiped away, when all wrongs had been righted. That's where we start to see the first ideas of resurrection. And it's important to note what they meant. As I said already, resurrection wasn't about going off to some other place, but resurrection right here into this world. Resurrection also didn't simply have to do with people who had lost their biological life. It had to do with people who were suffering, who were in pain, who were in need, people who had been cut off from their communities, people who had been cut off from being able to live a full life, a whole life. people in that state were considered also to be dead in antiquity. And so resurrection was for them as well. The idea that God would come and resurrect God's people meant that God would lift up all of those who were suffering and bring to them, again, a life of wholeness. This resurrection into wholeness was a predominant idea of what resurrection meant in antiquity. For many years in the history of Christianity, resurrection was something that happened to people in this lifetime. Something that people were able to experience now, and it was something that enabled people to embrace presence. Present time, presence of God. Now, when we get to the time of Jesus, we're only about 150 years after this idea of resurrection started to circulate. And people didn't have social media or Twitter back then. They didn't have the ability to spread news rapidly. And so things took quite a while. So we get to this place in the time of Jesus where we meet this group called the Sadducees. They're a sect of Judaism. They had their own schools. It was their turn to be in charge of the Jerusalem temple at this time. Caiaphas, the high priest that we read during Easter and Good Friday, was a Sadducee. We see that Sadducees were a group that chose not to believe in the resurrection yet. It hadn't really hit them. But we also know that resurrection was something that Jesus did embrace. And so the Sadducees, they come to Jesus, and their point is not to learn about resurrection. It's not that they're coming with doubts or questions, hoping to grow as people. They're coming with the idea to trap him, to catch him saying something blasphemous, so that they could arrest him and have him killed. So they ask him this ridiculous, ridiculous scenario about resurrection. Well, if a woman marries a guy and she doesn't have any kids from him, and his brother has to marry her then, and so this happens 7 different times, and there's no children, who is she married to in the afterlife? Jesus doesn't play their game. It's not important. Notice that when they come up with this ridiculous idea of resurrection, though, right? When they try to concoct some absolutely insane scene to make fun of it, notice how they treat this woman. Her only value in this life is to be married and to bear children. And if she can't do that, then who does she belong to in the afterlife? She serves no other purpose. She is simply childbearing property. And Jesus erases all of this. He comes in with this idea. You don't realize that God is not the God of the dead, but is the God of the living. Jesus is taking their value system, their cultural customs of what life is here and now, especially the ugly side, and he's erasing it and saying that resurrection is so much bigger than what you're doing right now. Than your own values, than your own conceptions of humanity. Jesus not only erases this archaic and harmful understanding of women in this time, but of life that not only the Sadducees bring, but that we all bring. Jesus is also erasing the line that separates life from death. And I think that's a big one for us today, folks. If we could only hear this message of resurrection today. For the most part, our idea of resurrection is squarely on an afterlife. It's squarely on what happens to us after we die. And not only that, today what we think of resurrection, we're not in this life anymore. We are transported off to somewhere else. We have completely separated the idea of what happens after death from what happens before death. And we've not realized that for Jewish people in antiquity, that line was always blurred. There was no succinct demarcation between life and death. For us, we tend to think of golden roads, mansions for everybody, big feasts with marrow, right? I tried marrow once. It was terrible. The idea of being able to fly. Remember in preschool, my preschool teacher, we were talking about heaven. She once said, well, heaven is everything that you love. She said, my father loves potato skins, so heaven is going to be walls and walls of potato skins that you can just eat. I thought, my God, that's my hell. But when we turn resurrection into this squarely futuristic idea, we truly miss the part that not only Jewish people in antiquity were getting to with it, but I think the part that Jesus is trying to get us to with it. And that is this. For all of us sitting in this room right now whose hearts are beating, we all experience death on a regular basis. When we lose our loved ones and are entrenched in grief, when we lose our jobs and have no idea what's going to come next, when we have been diagnosed with a chronic illness or pain, when the future is uncertain, when we are entrenched in depression or anxiety or fear, when we have been cut off from our communities around us, when people have hurt us to such an extent that our heart becomes this shield that cannot love, that needs to protect itself, when all of those things happen in our lives, and I know that they have happened to all of you at some point, we are experiencing death. We are experiencing being cut off from the divine. And for a lot of us, we just resign ourselves and think that's our place in life in that moment. In some cases, we resign ourselves and say, this is my future until I die. And we've cut ourselves off from the message that we do not have a God of the dead, but a God of the living. A God who hears the cry of God's people, a God who sees you in that disconnection, that death, and a God who resurrects us. A God who is there for us to call us back into new life, not after death, but right here and right now. So wherever you are in this space, in this point in your life, if any of you are experiencing any pain or suffering from illnesses, from emotions, take heart. For we have a God of the living. For some of you who have come to me, who've said, I'm getting older and I can't do the things that I used to do, who have transitioned into a new way of life and it's hard to bear, take heart. For we have a God of the living. If you look around this world and you see injustice in our globe, or you see injustice in this community, you see pain that people are experiencing, and it's simply because of where they were born or who they are, if that pain is just too much to bear and you can't take it, and you ask yourself, how can this be? Take heart, for we have a God of the living. If you are steeped in that place of grief and loss, you've lost someone dear to you, someone you love so much, and there's a hole, and it just feels like it's not ever going to be filled again, take heart, for we have a God of the living. If you are so sick of our political climate and the polarization and division that we are experiencing, if you're asking ourselves, when are we going to come together as a country? When are we going to be able to lift up our diversity and not use it as ways to bash each other, but to celebrate our diversity, to come together and to just love each other? Folks, take heart. For we have a God of the living. So often we treat God as this answer to future solutions. And so often we forget that God is right here, right now. That any time you are in that place of living death, that God sees you, that God is here for you, that God calls all of us to new life again, that God works through each other to care for each other, to love each other, to support each other, that we believe in a God of the living, and that living God is present in every breath here, seeking not only our little community of Bethania, but this community of the San Ynez Valley and this world to have new life through each and every one of us. We have a God who craves for us to experience this life as a gift and to live it as such and to help others experience that gift too. We are blessed because we have a God of the living. And for to God, all of them are living. Amen. Please stand.